Blog Talk Radio.
You think they really ready for you now? You think that there'll be many of you now? You really think they ready for you now? You think they really ready for you now? You think that there'll be many of you now? You really think they ready for you now?
Thinking, Chris, shrinking. Nah, I just don't brag about the deals I've been inking. Honorary degrees from Lincoln. I cross borders like Mohicans and do albums in a weekend. I'm hip-hop speaking, never the weakling. I'm the truth, man, so what are y'all speaking? Them lies and them liars, I still make flyers. I still ride bands and say MC for hire. I'll spit the fire anywhere, any place. Mama never told you to stay out of grown folk face. Then you got them rappers with that cold broke face. They torn around the world, then they going no place. My KRS One moves at his own pace. On vegetable oil, no gas, no waste. Then you got these intellectuals, really they're sexual, but they wanna remain respectable. Stop frying.
You think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now?
Thinking me, I say impeccable, running circles around these intellectuals. What a spectacle. They get mad when I say I and God are identical. You better get on your knees and praise them. These conspiracy theory rappers, I'll blaze them too. Ooh, deja vu. You seen this all before, me slaying your crew. I'm known by all the kids. I studied Dr. King, man, and all he did. People don't stop calling Chris for gigs, cause when I'm on the mic, man, I flip they lid. Me getting booed? Shit, I can't even count all the dough this month I did. From coast to coast, we roasting toast. I'm hot, me and the ice can't get close.
Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now?
Revolutionaries know the game. We take away the pain like Novocaine. Knowledge reigning supreme, you know the name. This the name that don't play all them games. I ain't gonna call no names or take away no fame, but the airwaves is a shame, and the public don't know who to blame. So they blame rappers like we are insane, like we are to blame for society's pain, like they don't know for sure what's in our brains. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Same style oppression, socially rearranged. Many of our problems we already overcame, but we stuck in the past, can't see the change. Stuck in the Hyundai, can't see the range. Stuck in the towers, can't see the planes.
Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now?
Thank you.
Jimmy Lee Underground Radio Network. Jimmy Lee Underground Radio Network is back on the air. Had a couple of weeks of mourning because of my passing of my grandma. Y'all know that. But I come back and somebody like jack all my commercials, my intros, you know. So that's why the show is sounding so like that, you know. So what I'm going to do while I'm trying to get all that, together, what I'm going to do is play an interview that I did with the Chicago Black Business Network and Miss Sonia Perdue. Shouts out to Miss Sonia Perdue. And you can tweet me at Tillman 2014. Thank you, Demetra. Tillman 2014. And you can tweet me there, everybody. And I guess it's like we starting the show over. I'm in an undisclosed location. I'm not in the studio. We're getting it all ready to go. So let me go ahead and at least get up the link. How was y'all Valentine's Day? Hold on. We are going to address, real talk, we're going to address the situation with the situation. What's her name? Mel Reynolds. We're going to address that. Matter of fact, first, oh, they got three songs, and they got me. Let me take a quick break, and then in this little 2 minutes and 11 seconds, I'll try to get stuff locked in. This is Jimmy Underground Radio Network, and it's Black History Month. Again, I'm going to get my tweet information out for y'all. So hold tight, Jamil. You ain't going nowhere. All right. Let me get not my own personal assistant. Hold on, Ms. Purdue. People need to check out my girl, Sonya Purdue. She is such a wonderful lady. She's setting up all my, taking care of my communications. She's going to help me get elected, which is great. And it's just, my Twitter account is Tillman2014 at Twitter. And so let me see if I can get this show up and running. And then I'll go from there. And then once I get it up and moving, I can make it happen and see how it sounds. Hold on. All because of how sound feedback sound. I get okay. Volume over there. Okay, now what I'm gonna do is put this 30-minute interview to get my intros and my commercials up. I ain't been on for a minute. Things have went off the way. So let me get everything together. Yeah, let me know what I think about it.
Okay, February 11th, 2014. This podcast is designed to serve the African-American communities in Chicago and around the world. Today's segment is called CBBN Business Journals. CBBN Business Journals will feature interviews with business owners and other innovators from around the world. I'm Sonia Cassandra Purdue, author of Black America, Asking Ourselves the Tough Questions, Book 1, now available on Amazon.com, and at our blog on AskingOurselvesTheToughQuestions.com. I'm also producer for this series and founder of Chicago's Black Business Network. Now, Chicago's Black Business Network is a social media management and training business organization. As we grow, we are redefining what we do, and that's just natural in life. You have to look at where you are and where you want to go at all times. We are changing the way that Chicago connects, and we'll talk about that some more on some upcoming shows. You can visit us and look at our mission and what we're doing at Chicago's, that's Chicago with an S, Chicago's Black Business Network.com, and be a part of all that we do. With us today is future Congressman Jimmy Lee Tillman II, who will represent the 1st Congressional District of Illinois. I'm happy that he took the time out of his busy schedule to be with us today. And I want you to know that he is the son of notable Chicagoans, Dr. Jimmy Tillman and Alderman Dorothy Tillman. Jimmy Lee is the founder of the Martin Luther Republicans, and we want to talk to him about that a little bit more as well. But more importantly, we want to talk about his run for Congress in this district in Illinois that was lost, and the only race lost by the now sitting president. And we want to talk to him about what his plans are for that congressional district. Just a little FYI on the 1st Congressional District of Illinois. As I told Mr. Tillman, I'm not political, and some of you may not be as well, but we want to grow into that also. The current sitting senators are Richard Durbin and Mark Kurt, and the current representative is Bobby Rush. The boundaries are from Chicago's lakefront all the way southwest to Joliet, Illinois, and it extends into quite a few municipalities as Crestwood, Inglewood Park, Elsip, Blue Island, all the way out to Oak Forest, Calumet Park, Dixmoor, Markham, Riverdale, Country Club Hills. When I checked the figures for African-American voters in this district, it was running about 65, and that means that this is the largest African-American base in any congressional district in this country, and I want to talk to Jimmy Lee about that as well. You can follow Jimmy Lee on Twitter at Tillman2014. He just set up an account. Follow him over on Twitter at Tillman2014. Send him your messages. Direct message in there and send him your comments. And you can also listen to him every night, 7 p.m. on Jimmy Lee's Underground Railroad Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. So we're excited to have him here today. Jimmy Lee?
And thank you for having me on your show.
it's interesting being on this side of the microphone. Normally I'm on the side where you are asking the tough questions. Just a point of corrections, that's Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio Network. I know I'm a freedom fighter and I do speak with Underground Railroad a lot, but it's the Underground Radio Network, and I'm on 8 to 10, Monday through Thursday. Saturday, I have a rebroadcast of Coffee Tea and a Conversation with Dorothy Tillman, which airs on WVON, and I play that Saturday, but you can find me also on Blog Talk. Ms. Perdue, and thank you for having me on.
Jimmy Lee, could you hear my introduction? I was having a little bit of technical difficulty here, so you can't hear me clearly?
Oh, yes, I can hear you. I'm sorry, I had the phone on speaker. Let me, can you hear me correctly, properly now? How do I sound now?
You sound great. So you could hear my introduction?
Oh, all the way through, I heard everything. Everything you said was excellent, yes. I'm monitoring your show.
Well, wonderful, wonderful. I'm glad the spirit is working in our favor, because you know how it gets sometimes. You've been doing this quite a while now. Let's start at the beginning a little bit, Jimmy. Before we go into the politics of it all, let's talk about you. Tell our listeners, who is Jimmy Lee Tillman II, and then tell us about the Martin Luther King Republicans, the organization that you founded.
Okay, well, the name speaks for itself. My name is Jimmy Lee Tillman II. I'm son of Jimmy Lee Tillman I. I always like to mention my father's name first because I have his name. And great freedom fighter and activist and Chicago notable alderwoman Dorothy Tillman. Those are my pedigrees. I attended Mollison Elementary, which is in the first congressional district. I also attended Hyde Park Career Academy, another high school, which is also in the first congressional district. I attended Central State University, where I left there with a degree in history. That's a little bit in a nutshell. This is my third time running for office. It's my second time running for Congress. The first time I ran for Water Reclamation District here in the Cook County area, where I gathered over 225,000 votes, close to a quarter of a million votes. First time I ran for Congress, it was a crowded field. We had the mayor from Blue Island, Dan Palakokas, and a guy from the West Side, a black guy from the West Side by the name of Fred Collins. At that time, I figured I didn't want to be in the race where two African-Americans was fighting over the right to represent the first congressional district when the slate was stacked with European-Americans, African-Americans, where it was not in the favor for either of us to come out victorious. So I didn't want to be perceived as someone bringing down another African-American, so I didn't want to partake in that scrimmage. So on this time, I have the opportunity to, I guess, run unopposed. Not saying I was not looking for no competition. I just didn't want to be in a position where there were white candidates and black candidates discussing the rights to what we're going to do for blacks. And basically, I felt the last election was stacked to move me out of it. But this time, the Republican Party graciously decided to give me this opportunity to show and prove what I can do. I have a group called the Martin Luther King Republicans. Now, the Martin Luther King Republicans is just that. There are a bunch of black conservative Democrats. Now, I say conservative Democrats now because we all just not Republicans. There's conservative Democrats. There are conservative libertarians and moderate Republicans. It's a group of black intellectuals who are dissatisfied with the course of action that have been delivered not only in Chicago but throughout America, because we have people in Indianapolis, Michigan, Ohio, and Bay City, St. Louis, and Gulfport, Mississippi. We have Martin Luther King Republicans in those areas, so it's just not a Chicago thing. We chose to choose the name Martin Luther King Republican because Martin Luther King was a Republican. People don't really realize that. Me being his
and there seems to be some controversy about that. When I looked that up, Google, there seems to be some controversy about it. How could there be any confusion whether or not he was a Republican or not?
It goes to the it goes to the Negroes, because if African Americans realized that he was that, then they would no longer vote Democrat. It's all for the votes. It's all for the numbers game. See, people fail to realize that to be in the South, it was not beneficiary to be a Democrat when George Wallace, Drew O'Connor, and all the governors that were preventing African Americans the right to vote were Democrats. See, people fail to realize that 45 years ago, the people that held us back were the Democratic Party. Now, if Martin Luther King was a Democrat back then, it would have been no problem for him to be siding with the people that was oppressing his people. But no. In the South, you sided with the side that won the Civil War, which was the Republican Party. And most people were Republicans because Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. You see, so most African Americans from the South, if you can go back to the history, were heavily, heavily Republican. And let me see if history does not serve me right. The ones who voted Democrat were caught up in the Klan vote or die. If you're going to vote, you better vote Democrat or we're going to hang you, i.e. come the poll taxes, come all those things to prevent those Democrats, those voters from voting Republican. So they put all those boundaries in the area. But as we can look at our history, you know, we just go back to history and see the advancement of African Americans throughout the course of history, from the free, from us being free from slaves, from Grant, President Grant, to President Lincoln, through Eisenhower, all the ministry. I mean, history does not portray the political parties in a light which they should be portrayed. Now, I'm not saying everyone should vote Republican or everyone should vote Democrat, but everyone should vote their interests. Again, I come from a Democratic family. My mother was a Democrat, 25 years, the Third War Democratic boss, but that was because here we are in Chicago, and the situation was that the only game in town were the Democratic Party. And
it was a Democratic game.
So you get in where you fit in, and that was the only, there are no Republicans here in Cook County or Chicago. And so at the time when we entered the game of politics, we were coming off the heels of trying to bring Ralph Metcalf Jr. back into office. Then from that point on, the Mollison school strikes. And then from that point on, Taste of Chicago. But then from all the victories that we fought at that time, Chicago was just it's like, it's funny if you look back in history and how Chicago was back in the early 80s, late 70s. Even the Democrats of those eras would be considered the Republicans of these eras. When you have a Democratic city council, all Democratic city council going against the Democratic mayor, which in the Bedoliacs and the Washington 29. And so you look at that, you look at those heated battles and stuff right there. So everyone decided to take a side. Now here we are in Chicago. We one party rule. We 25 with 27, 30 years since Harold Washington passed away. And so there are no Republicans in our way to say that it's the Republican Party who's causing our taxes to rise high or causing our infrastructure to be falling down. It's strictly one-party rule. But people find it easily to blame Republicans because they go to D.C., not realizing that all politics are local. But before I get on my platform, let me look back about the Martin Luther King Republicans. His daddy was a Republican, and if you look at his voting record, they normally vote Republican. We just didn't become full-fledged into the Democratic Party until after Lyndon Johnson really signed the Voting Rights Act law, even though Republicans were in the majority House and Senate and passed that bill. The president does get the nod for that. Even though when Nixon came in, all the funding that he gave to Whitney Young to keep the Urban League going on and all the money gave to the black communication, the newspapers and the radio stuff, so they can have their piece of the pie. We can go back to Ed Brooks and the Brook Amendment to make people get low affordable housing, Title 19, so women can be able to file for their taxes without being, I mean, you can look at all the laws that was passed for black people that affect us today. At any time in my life, it was passed Republicans or with a Republican idea. Now, let's fast forward to right now, Ms. Perdue. Here we are. I say Martin Luther King Republicans because we are in the same time that Martin Luther King was in. Martin Luther King was fighting for the right to vote for African Americans. And here he is, 2014, and the Supreme Court sent down the Voting Rights Act of 65 to the House for better understanding on it. Now, me being a Republican, I can say, yeah, they should have sent it back down. But then some Democrats might hear me and be like, well, That's wrong. That's voter suppression. When the Voting Rights Act says this right, this act is for blacks to not be discriminated against. And that's why the Voting Rights Act of 65 was put out, to make sure that African Americans who've been discriminated against for so many years, there's a law where they would not be, so it would not happen again. Now, with the new term of minority, Supreme Court has to send it back to get proper understanding. They would like to know to the Black Caucus or to the Congress, is this a black law or is this a minority law? Because right now in Congress, all the civil rights laws that we gained are getting hosed on, bitten by dogs, locked up in jail, and noosed around our necks for the advancement for black America. Now, no pun intended, no discrimination. I'm going to throw out here, but now these laws are for transgenders, Hispanics, women, Asians. The laws that were intended to right the wrongs of slavery are now being put to immigrants and sexual deviants. Not saying it's deviant sexual behavior, but if that's your sexual desire, now you're placed into a minority status, and now you can get the benefits that people died for. But now, to be progressive Democrats, you got to say, yeah, let's all be in. Let's do it all. Not knowing historically, the Democrats was not for the right to vote. That's why the Voting Rights Act of 65 is not being reauthorized or even being talked about. And that if you muddy up all the laws that were intended for African Americans, then the laws that we never wanted to be in the first place will be easily taken away. You see, the Democratic Party had a real smooth plan. First of all, they made us not like Republicans no more, and then they muddied all the laws that was given to us, and then the people who want to be in the know, who want to be important, they jump on and be like, yeah, because they just like us. They just like us. When they have their own country, they have their own currency, they have their own place they can go to, and when we as a people did not even get 40 years to enjoy those rights to ourselves. Here it is 45 years, Voting Rights Act 1965, here it is 50 years later. A generation of African Americans, hey, check this out, Purdue. It's so funny. 1965, 68, the black middle class blew up. The great society, blacks are doing so well. Here we are 50 years later, and there's no black middle class. There's no black jobs. The same lifestyle that our parents lived, we cannot live no longer, because that dream that was given to our parents is not given to us. Now, we can look at the Republicans and say, look what they're doing, but at the mirror and say, what are we doing to harm ourselves? And as I look around, you know, it's easy for me to blame Obama, because I can, because he's the president. Like, I can give Lyndon Johnson the credit for the Civil Rights Bill, even though I know the racist cracker didn't want to get free Negroes in the first place, but he gets the credit. Just like John Kennedy gets the credit for, like, in African Americans, we never passed not one bill because he freed Martin Luther King from jail. He gets that credit. He loved blacks, but, you know, he could have passed the bill himself. So, where we are right now.
Let me ask you something, Jimmy.
Go ahead.
Jimmy, let me ask you.
Sure.
Let me ask you. I know you can do your platform, and everything that you that has preceded this, we need to have like 10 other shows on it, specifically the Republican history that you're talking about, because I do know just a little bit that Dorothy Tillman grew up in that. And if anybody should know,
right,
then you should know, you know, that she grew up right down there in the middle of that, and that you were actually, as I put on the show page, born into the arms of the Civil Rights Movement and the Chicago politics. Tell me this, Jimmy. What do you hope to achieve by being a part of this race for Congress? We want to talk about you. We don't do that history thing again because
we don't hear this ever,
and we're going to have to hear it some more. But what do you hope to achieve by being part of this race for Congress?
Well, thank you for saying that, because even though the election has not even begun, well, it has, but, you know, after March 18th, I entered the race one-on-one with Congressman Reverend Bobby Rush. But like I tell my supporters or my volunteers that come around me, I have already won. Now, everyone declares victory. Now, it all depends on what you define victory. My definition of victory is to be upon the platform with Reverend Rush articulating the issues for African Americans, because no one in the black community here in Chicago, Illinois, Cook County, maybe even Joliet, I can't speak for Will, maybe even Joliet, they never get to hear what their representatives' beliefs, platforms, and what they're standing on. Normally after March, they get a pass, and then they go to D.C., or they go to Springfield, or they go to the board, county board. Leaving blacks in the hole, or holding on to hope, hoping that that individual will do what they feel that they would do, even those politicians have not even articulated what their platform is, or they're not even telling you what they're going to go to D.C. and do, what they're going to go to City Hall and do, or Springfield and do. We as an African-American community get left behind because there's no one shot. Okay, let me give you an example. Okay, Bobby Rush, if you, how do you feel? I'm not going to talk about Inglewood, the flyover. I'm not going to even go with any scandal that he's involved in. Let's not even throw that in the air. Let's go with Muammar Gaddafi. Now, Muammar Gaddafi was loved in the African-American community, beloved, and a lot of African-Americans were dissatisfied with his assassination or his murder or the justice that was levied upon him. Now, I would like to know, were you with the assassination or was you against the assassination? Either or, you have a right to let your people know, because that took place without even no explanation to the people. Or, let's go, is the health care bill okay for us, Bobby Rush? Or if it's not okay for us, Bobby Rush, can we at least know? We can go, okay, is it good to send more troops in Afghanistan, or should we pull back in Afghanistan? Is it okay should we use drones over there in Yemen, or should we stop killing Africans over there with the drones and put boots on the ground? What should we do? Or should we never know that?
I guess, and the sad part
is our congressman, I'm not jumping on Bobby Rush, but our congressman has not been in Congress for a year. We know his wife is ill. We know this, but people need representation. You know, and the African-American community does not lose nothing with a Tillman going to D.C. because the rights and privileges of African-Americans will be upheld and will be delivered. And it's better to have somebody youth and vigorous than somebody on the tail end of their career. We really don't want to do Bobby Rush like he did Charlie Hayes under the same circumstances. We like to send our leaders out on top. You know, sometimes going on top is bowing out gracefully. And if you want to fight it out for the victory, then we can go at it. But the people deserve more. It's not a Democrat or Republican thing. It's a black thing. And who can best give resources to African Americans? Now, if the Republican Party is in the majority, and the only way you're going to get resources is having a voice in the majority, then it only makes sense for the black man to send somebody to D.C. in the majority to see if at least they can get some resources down before the black president leaves, or else we just had an excuse that we had a black president and no one asked for anything for the African American. When I'm elected, I at least have 2 years to be able to see if I can bring something home from Barack Obama, to either save face for the black president to say he did something for African Americans, or just to show everybody that the Democratic Party does not care about African Americans. Either or, we got to know.
You know, Jimmy Kim, I love interviews where I don't have to ask the question. You know, if you listen to Chicago's Black Business Radio Network with our future Congressman Jimmy Lee Tillman II, out of the 1st Congressional District in Illinois. You know that Jimmy Lee does a show every week. Is it 3 hours, Jimmy, or are you doing 2 hours?
2 hours. I went 2 hours because of my campaign, 8 to 10.
Okay.
I dropped it down from 7 to 10 to 8 to 10 because of the campaign.
I got you. So he does this almost every night. So he can go. It's not gonna be any stopping him. And we need the energy. You know, sometimes, and I don't have anything to get Bobby or, you know, anybody. But if you really look at the truth behind the matter, people, if you really look at it, you got to have the energy. And you got to have an understanding of what is basically going on in the right now. as well as what went on. That is the basis of what is happening. But you got to understand what the needs of the people are right now. And basically, you asked one of the questions that I want to. We got 5 minutes, Jimmy. I just want you to notice
right.
I have an hour show.
I know. Yeah. That's why I got off the mic quickly for your last minute. Go ahead. I'm timing
you.
I know I go.
You basically answered one of the questions that I thought was very important to me. But I'm going to let you, you know, add to it in the last 5 minutes.
Okay.
If I were to visit you in office a year from November, a year from you being sworn in, what could your district expect from you?
Well, I would have to hit the ground running because being a Democratic district, people will be looking at me and scrutinize me for every move that I make. The first three issues I'm trying to bring to America's attention and try to bring some closure to is, one, the Voting Rights Act of 1965, because that benefits all Americans, is either, A, going to be rectified and put that it is an African-American right, or we're going to get rid of it. Two, H.R. 40, which is a study to look at the cause of slavery on African-Americans. That's in the Judiciary Committee. We're going to bring that forth for a vote. Three, to make sure the Tulsa, Oklahoma victims at least get some reparations or something to their descendants before they all pass on. Three things that can benefit African Americans will not cause America too much grief and harm, and that will push us toward the right direction. Those are the first three things I can get real quick. It'd be difficult for me to say I'm going to bring jobs when it's going to find I'm going to have a hard time finding my way around being my first time there. So I don't want to use that for an excuse saying, it's my first time here. I can't find my way around. So what I'm going to do is be the voice of African Americans and push those three issues, which I think are very prevalent to our race as a whole, giving us our black president and giving us 50 years from Martin Luther King assassination, the Voting Rights Act. It's imperative to see where are we now, 50 years later, and to repair those damages for those that we did wrong to that are still here.
Great, Jimmy Lee. We're going to do, as this proceeds through November, we're going to do some more shows, and I'm going to be sure, this is Sonia Cassandra, Purdue, founder of Chicago.
Tell that long-tongued liar. Till the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Watching? Thank you. I've commented at length on the relationship between blacks, Democrats, and the Republican Party. Videos like Begin Deprogramming, where I examine that often asked question, why is it that the majority of the black community consistently votes Democrat? What's funny is that you kind of have to scratch your head and wonder, why is it that the majority of the black community votes Democrat? But back in the day, when the majority of the black community voted Republican, it was pretty clear why. Actually, that's not entirely true. If you were wondering why blacks voted for Republicans, it was because we were wondering if they had a death wish. Am I lying? Man, you ain't got to look that far today to see the hostility that'll come your way if you're black and you dare to be a Republican. And just a few decades ago, that hostility came along with lynchings. Now, people have been led to believe that these lynchings were done by a bunch of crazy rednecks running around in white sheets because that's the American way. But y'all, it wasn't the American way. It was the Democrat way. The Ku Klux Klan was the terrorist fraternity founded by the Democrat Party, and their message was simple. Vote or die. And when you vote, you make sure it's for Democrats. Now, who is it that was carrying on that vote or die message? Oh, yeah, Diddy. Now, do you think that whole vote or die, rock the vote campaign is propaganda for you to vote Republican? No, it's for you to vote Democrat. The Klan wanted white voters to vote Democrat. They didn't want black folks to vote at all. But if black people were going to vote, they wanted them to vote Democrat, too. And you can be sure that the Klan has some choice words for black people who voted Republican. Why don't you learn this stuff in public school? Because the public school system is run by the Democrat Party and the unions. But what the scratch and sniff happened, man? The Democrat Party has been the pro-slavery party, the pro-segregation party, the anti-civil rights party, but the majority of the black community votes Democrat. Now, some will say it's because Martin Luther King gave his endorsement to Democrat John F. Kennedy. This supposedly happened after Robert Kennedy made a few phone calls to get Martin Luther King released from jail. But that same Robert Kennedy that made a few phone calls to get Martin Luther King released from jail is the same Robert Kennedy that gave the okie-dokie to J. Edgar Hoover to tap Martin Luther King's phone.
They wanted to catch Martin Luther King engaging in dialogue that was favorable to communism.
They didn't like Martin Luther King. You know why? Because he was a Republican. And actually, man, as far as I know, he never did endorse John F. Kennedy because Martin Luther King was a church pastor who stood by the principle of not endorsing candidates. Martin Luther King offered his thanks to the Kennedys. I don't think he offered an endorsement. But there's Martin Luther King Sr., who was also a Republican. He knew that the Democrats were not friends of the black community, and that included the Kennedys. Why would Martin Luther King endorse John F. Kennedy? Allow me to speculate. Could it be that Martin Luther King Sr. also got a phone call? A phone call that might have gone something like, look here, you want a safe and speedy release of your son from jail? How about a friendly nod for Kennedy in exchange? Not to mention, while John F. Kennedy was a senator, he opposed the civil rights bill that was being advanced by the Republican president, Eisenhower. Now, like Republicans, Democrats like the Kennedys back then didn't like communism, and Southern Democrats really hated communism. But let's clear this up, though. Hating communism does not make you a capitalist, and it does not make you a conservative. Adolf Hitler hated communism, too, but that didn't make him a capitalist or a conservative. I have to point this stuff out because the Democrats know that they're being exposed, so they've been going around and changing some things. So when you go out and research and Google this stuff, you're going to find that the word Democrat is being replaced by the word conservative, especially when you go research them Southern Democrats, or Dixiecrats, as they call them. They're changing the language, y'all. That's how they do. You know, kind of like the term global warming is being replaced by the term climate change. They got their foot ankle deep in their mouth on that one, and they're sore losers about it, man. And sore losers are always trying to change the game. But more and more people are starting to call Democrats out on this stuff. What you mean global warming, man? It's actually been kind of cool. Well, you see, our Earth raping is causing our Earth mother to be depressed, and her depression is manifesting as changing climates. No, 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 my green friend. The fact that the Earth has two poles doesn't make her bipolar per se, like you. Those changes in the climates are called seasons and normal warming and cooling periods. The rest of us know that. Why don't y'all know that? Anyway, the Democrats were seeing that more and more the rest of the country wasn't really riding on the hateful frequency of the Southern Democrats. Now, I reckon the Democrat Harry Truman knew that. He was also a member of the Ku Klux Klan. He just didn't attend their slumber parties.
At least that's what he says.
But if Truman wanted to be president, he was going to have to show that he was in tune with the rest of the country. He was going to have to show that he was hip, he was cool, you know, denying civil rights to blacks as for squares, man. So he throws down with things like signing executive order to end segregation in the military and to end discrimination in federal employment. That made him look a little better to the rest of the country, and it made Democrats look a little better to black people. But to his racist homies in the South, he's like, now don't y'all go thinking I'm expecting you to enforce all this civil rights crap. That's where Eisenhower comes in. He's the one who actually put into action what Truman only put on paper. Eisenhower moved to desegregate schools and the military. And if he had any reservations about desegregating schools, it was because he felt it was an issue that needed to be resolved on state levels. But Eisenhower did see that these people were being jerks and that their laws conflicted with the supreme law of the land. That's why there's that instance of Eisenhower sending in military support to make sure that black kids could go to school. Now, Martin Luther King did ask Eisenhower for more help. He wanted Eisenhower to be more verbal against what was happening in the South. And Eisenhower's like, man, I've been expressing my views on this, and to tell you the truth, I really don't know what good another speech for me is going to do for you. And Eisenhower was right, because the speech that was going to be the super rump shaker wasn't meant to come through Eisenhower. It was meant to come through Martin Luther King. So between Truman and the Kennedys, what civil rights meant was votes. It's like Truman set up the ball and the Kennedys spiked it. The Democrat Margaret Sanger already said it. You want to hoodwink the Negroes? You make nice with their ministers. And when Robert Kennedy got Martin Luther King released from jail, it made Democrats look good to the black community. So, of course, the black community was really disenfranchised. And when Martin Luther King busted on the scene to be the champion of civil rights, he really had the hearts of the black community with him, as well as a lot of other Americans. And when the people saw that their champion was freed from jail by a Democrat, they were so happy that they forgot that it was Democrats who put Martin Luther King in jail in the first place. They forget about Democrats like George Wallace and Democrats like Bull Firehose KKK Connor. There's the pro-segregationist Democrat Ernie Vandenberg, the governor of the state that Martin Luther King was jailed in. FDR was instrumental in getting black people to start switching over to Democrat because of entitlements. See, the Democrats have had a system. You got to break the black community down, and every once in a while you got to give them a little something-something, you know, so they stay tolerant of the place that you reduced them to. Now, the Democrats knew at some point the black community was going to rise against them. But that's okay because they had a plan for that, and they still use that plan today. Well, you know all that awful stuff that's been happening to you? You know, it was those dang Republicans. We've always been with you, brother.
There are a lot of people who wrote these eulogies for Senator Byrd in the newspapers, and I read a bunch of them, and they mentioned that he once had a fleeting association with a Ku Klux Klan. And what does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. A country boy from the hills and hollows of West Virginia. He was trying to get elected. And maybe he did something he shouldn't have done, and he spent the rest of his life making it up. And that's what a good person does.
But how did this disenfranchisement come about? Well, let's keep working our way back, and on the way, we'll take a quick look at the presidency of the Democrat Woody Woodrow Wilson. He knew the game. Oh, yeah, I'm all about seeing the advancement of you Negro folk. There he was, out there courting the black vote. Woody with a courting heated ride, Trambone. Oh, yeah, y'all black people could vote back then. It's just that Democrats had this really bad habit of coming into power and taking away the rights of black people. Republicans are the ones who would come in and restore the rights. The last time that happened was when Lyndon B. Johnson was president, a Democrat. But he got that Civil Rights Act passed with Republican support, not so much with Democrat support. Anyway, back to Woodrow Wilson. Now, what did Woodrow Wilson do? He did the same thing that the Democrats of today do. He patronized the black community for their votes. And what did he do with their votes? Well, he did things like segregate the military and fire blacks who had federal positions. And to add insult to injury, he hosted the showing of the pro-KKK movie Birth of a Nation in the White House. Now, Even though black people typically voted Republican back then, they got suckered into voting Democrat. Now, before Woodrow Wilson, you had the Republican president, Teddy Roosevelt, or he called his party the Bull Moose Party. He was still a Republican, though. Teddy Roosevelt was digging Booker T. Washington, who was also a Republican. Teddy and Booker T. kicking it at the White House. Bullet. Teddy Roosevelt, a Republican, invites blacks in. Woodrow Wilson, a Democrat, kicks blacks out. Yet black people today say we love them Democrats. Teddy Roosevelt had to work to repair civil rights due to the damage done to it by Southern Democrats. Southern Democrats had become really, really mad about all these coon-loving Republicans being in the White House for so long. So the Klanocrats were dispatched to turn up the heat on how people were going to vote. So why the loyalty to the Democrat Party? Well, let's keep working our way on back. So let's look at the South wanting to break away from the Union. You got the Southern Democrat representatives that wanted to break away so they could be the slave-holding Confederate states. Oh, yeah? Well, how come black men were fighting with Confederates in uniform? Because they had to? They had to be in uniform, y'all, because the Confederate military didn't want to mistake them for runaway slaves with guns and shoot them. They needed every man they could get. It's another example of Democrats using black people when it's convenient for them. So those slaves were forced to fight, and those slaves that were fighting against the Union were hoping to get captured by the Union. Don't get me wrong, you have many of them slaves that were led to believe that the Union was the enemy. Kind of like how it is today. You got many in the black community that are led to believe that the Republicans are the enemy. And I'm sure there were just a lot of slaves out there that were eager to shoot at some white people, huh? Oh, I mean, come on. Now, even today, you have these left-wing cynics that would rather be suspicious of Abraham Lincoln because he said this.
My paramount objective in this struggle is to save the Union. And it's not either to save or destroy slavery. If I could save the Union without freeing any slaves, I would do it. And if I could save it by freeing all the slaves, I would do it. And if I could do it by freeing some and leaving others alone, I would do that also.
Mm. But there's what he said, and then there's what he did. Now, I could be all hung up on that and bitter about it, too, but then I think about what the Democrat General George B. McClellan said. Our bloody civil war has now lasted years under the mismanagement of Abraham Lincoln. Nearly 1 million white lives have been sacrificed. So the Democrats of today try to say that Lincoln was indifferent to slavery, but the Democrats of Lincoln's day saw Lincoln as clearly anti-slavery, and they didn't like it. McClellan also charged Lincoln with this.
Lincoln has declared his intention to convert the Civil War into a war for forcible abolition and Negro equality, social and political.
This Democrat was a general during Lincoln's administration, and just like pretty much the rest of the Democrats, he was at odds with Lincoln. McClellan ran against Lincoln because he saw Lincoln as a slavery-abolishing Republican who committed the abominable act of sacrificing white lives for black freedom. So what do you want to believe? That Lincoln didn't really care about blacks because of a few lines that he stated? All those people that were killed in the war? That was just a political stunt. He really didn't care about freeing slaves. And forget all that abolitionist-laden Republican platform stuff that Lincoln ran on. Forget all that. And forget about the fact that he signed the 13th Amendment. Man, he's the president. He ain't got no business doing that anyway. Now, you can find accounts of Lincoln suggesting that the white race is the superior race, but hey, I never said Lincoln was perfect. But despite such sentiments, he still saw blacks as people, people deserving of the same rights as everybody else outlined in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. But unfortunately, a lot of people would rather assume the worst about Lincoln and side with Democrats. Why? Well, let's keep going on back. Let's examine the paradox of Thomas Jefferson, a Democratic Republican. The Republican side of him knew that we enjoy a constitutional republic. His philosophy on the rights of men and the role of government was brilliant and revered by many people today. That's the Republican side of him. But the Democrat side of him is the side that said, but these rights are good for me, not you, namely you black folks. Matter of fact, let's get to cracking with that fugitive slave law and snatch up a few of those Negroes and put them into slavery.
Invasion of the Negro Snatchers.
And that's just another example, but people in the black community still side with Democrats. Why? Could it be because the Republican Party stands closest to the Constitution? You know, that document that has that three-fifths clause in it, that clause that supposedly reduces black people to three-fifths of a human being. Many of y'all learned that in our liberal indoctrination system, you know, public school. And this is a prime example of how race-baiting liberals are masters at suckering the black community to keep voting for Democrats. To make the far-reaching accusation that the Constitution refers to black people as three-fifths of a human being and to get people to believe it is like amazing. Let's take a look at how Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3 of the U.S. Constitution reads.
Thank you. today. If I don't get some shelter, oh yeah, I'm gonna flee away.
Yeah, I'm still having problems getting my stuff programmed up. Some rigging everything up. You know, Tillman 2014 at Twitter. You can catch me there. It's kind of hard. Not playing my commercials. Having just like a set regiment. So let me see. Some news. Let's look at Mel Reynolds. Let's see what pops up. Mel Reynolds in the news. Let's see. Call a Telegraph. Fox News. Let me. Nope. Not that one. Let's try WGN-TV. What's what they got to say? If I can put up some audio photos. Because
I want the audio to tell the story. Logging up, loading up. Let's see. Hold on. Okay, let me see if I can get something for you all on this. Hope you don't hit me with a... Here you are. Let me see how I can get everything together without it stopping and starting on me like I think what it just did. Yeah. Well, 2nd Congressional District, Mel Reynolds. Hold on. I think I got it right now. Let me see if I can pull it up now. Without, man, hold on. Let me see if I can, it's not right there. Let me see if I can get the story up. I'm going somewhere with the Mel Reynolds. Just follow me. Well, it might not be nothing, but it affects my campaign. Had it, but I lost it. I had it, but I lost it. And now I'm getting stuff broken up. Let me see if I can read it to you. Now my... froze up. It's difficult to get. Let me see. If I can pull it up one more time. Now I'm just leaving it alone. Because I'm finding it hard to... pull up. Why, I don't know. Why, I just don't know. Let me see if I get ABC. Chicago ABC. For the record, don't allow me to get it neither. Chuck Gowdy is reporting on this one. Okay, it's loading up now. Okay, here we go. Dial-up. That's what you get when you go to people's crib and they got dial-up. Okay, let me see. I'm going to get this. Okay. Let me see if I can put it up now. Oh, it's muted down. I've got Mimi in the room with me. All right. Let's go.
New trouble for former Chicago Congressman Mel Reynolds. Reynolds has been arrested in Zimbabwe, Africa, on allegations that he was making pornography.
Eyewitness News investigative reporter Chuck Gowdy joining us tonight. Chuck has the latest.
Kathy Allen, this is not uncharted territory for Mel Reynolds. The ex-congressman, Khan, is serving federal prison time for solicitation of child pornography and other charges, including 12 counts of sexual assault with an underage campaign worker and later bank fraud. Now, that was in the mid-1990s. Lately, Reynolds has claimed redemption. But that salvation suffered a setback in Zimbabwe when police say they found lots of porn in his hotel room.
I made mistakes.
A year ago, a humbled Mel Reynolds was intent on regaining the congressional seat he surrendered prior to prison. But in last year's election, the Rhodes Scholar was rebuffed with less than 1% of the vote. Since then, Reynolds has spent time away from Chicago, overseas in the African nation of Zimbabwe, working on tourism business deals. It was here that the 62-year-old Democrat-turned-businessman was arrested yesterday by police in the city of Harare. Zimbabwe's government-owned newspaper has the Reynolds story here on its front page, with the former Chicago congressman and ex-con pictured in handcuffs at the time of his arrest. Reynolds had been staying at this resort hotel, according to law enforcement. They found 100 pornographic videos apparently taken by Reynolds and 2,000 obscene photos, according to the government news agency. A hotel manager tells the I-Team Reynolds has not returned. He is believed to still be in custody pending a Friday court hearing. In 1995, then-Congressman Reynolds was convicted of soliciting child porn, having sex with a 16-year-old campaign volunteer, and statutory rape. He was sentenced in a separate bank fraud case and spent years in prison before President Bill Clinton commuted the fraud sentence. Tonight, Reynolds also faces immigration charges in Zimbabwe. Authorities say he came into the country through this border passing on November 13th and was given a 14-day visa. It was renewed once, but on December 10th, Reynolds' visa expired, and officials say he has been there illegally ever since. Reynolds is said to have been chauffeured around Zimbabwe with an entourage after cinching a big Hilton hotel deal there last year. But the local press reports he also owes almost $25,000 for his own hotel bills. His business plans in jeopardy tonight. If convicted of pornography, he faces up to 2 years in prison and deportation on the visa violation. In that country, just possession of pornography is a felony.
Okay.
All right, Chuck.
Chuck, thanks. Why is
Mel Reynolds in Africa? Why is Mel Reynolds dealing with Robert Mugabe? What is it with this guy Mugabe? Now, let me see if I could pick the link of why this Mugabe story, if I can get it loaded up to you.
Breaking IT news.
Here you go, everybody. Let me bring it up. Look.
Tonight, several prominent Illinois politicians have been linked to an illegal African lobbying effort. The federal investigation today resulting in charges against two Chicago men.
Our investigative reporter, Chuck Gowdy, is working the story.
Alan, Kathy, longtime Chicago Congressman Danny Davis is seeking legal counsel tonight because he says he was lobbied by one of those charged in today's federal case. Davis and Congressman Bobby Rush are among four Illinois politicians wrapped up in an effort to lift U.S. economic sanctions against the African nation of Zimbabwe.
We believe that no African-American child should ever be afraid to ride a bicycle.
Longtime Chicago political activist Prince Asiel Ben Israel is charged with accepting nearly $3.5 million from Zimbabwe officials to help dictator Robert Mugabe shake American trade sanctions. Charged with the 72-year-old Ben Israel is C. Gregory Turner, a Chicago business developer who is 71 years old. According to federal charges, the men arranged trips by U.S. government officials to meet with Mugabe, and that afterward, Illinois officials promised to deliver information to then-President-elect Obama about lifting the economic sanctions. They lobbied a caucus of state legislators on behalf of Zimbabwean officials and did so, having failed to apply for a Treasury Department license to engage in lobbying. Tonight, a spokesman for Congressman Danny Davis confirms that he was briefed by Ben Israel, is now seeking legal counsel, and expects to meet soon with federal officials. Authorities haven't named the other Chicago representative who was lobbied, but the charges say they sponsored legislation to remove sanctions on Mugabe's regime. Davis and Congressman Bobby Rush were the Illinois congressmen who co-sponsored that bill. This statement just in from Congressman Rush now. I had been scheduled to travel to Africa as part of an official delegation in 2009, he writes. If my itinerary had been shared with anyone connected with Zimbabwe or Zimbabwe officials, I had no knowledge of it. Zimbabwe was not included in my itinerary, which did include several countries. Rush says, due to sudden illness, I did not travel with the delegation. This is the first I've heard of this. I have not been questioned, and I am not a cooperating witness. Also, I have not been notified by the U.S. Department of Justice that I am Representative B in the complaint. I have not retained private counsel, and I see no need to do so at this time. One of those charged, Ben Israel, was in federal court today, released on his own recognizance. The other man, Mr. Turner, is believed to actually be in Israel. There's a federal warrant for his arrest.
Congressman Russ saying he's got no connection whatsoever.
That's what he says in this statement.
Right. Okay,
okay.
Chuck, thanks.
Chuck, thanks.
There's a saying around here, you stand behind what you say. Around here, you don't make excuses. You make commitments. And when you can't live up to them, you own up and make it right. Some people think the kind of accountability that thrives on so many streets in this country has gone missing in the places where it's needed most. But I know you'll still find it when you know where to look.
New Day's interview with George Zimmerman is making headlines, not only for what he said, but what he implied. Mainstream press and bloggers criticizing Zimmerman for claiming he was a scapegoat and a victim of a miscarriage of justice.
What was the miscarriage of justice?
The fact that two law enforcement entities stated that I had acted within the laws of our nation in self-defense.
You don't think it was about the law?
I know it wasn't, yes.
And what does that make you?
Like a scapegoat.
A scapegoat for?
The government, the president, the attorney general.
One Washington Post blog said that comment shows how delusional he is. And Daily Kos, a liberal blog, wrote, yes, yes, it's all a plot against him.
Your story is not a sad story. You're not some sort of victim from what happened after the fact.
Social media also erupting with angry comments, some even directed at CNN for even running the interview. Many directed at what Zimmerman had to say. Miscarriage of justice? A kid died. That needed to be answered in court, one said. Another reacted, scapegoat? You killed someone. Zimmerman also drew criticism for seeming to have an overall lack of remorse.
Do you regret that you killed Trayvon Martin?
Unfortunately, the Department of Justice is conducting a civil rights investigation. So those are the types of questions that, because of the investigation, I have to tread lightly.
We checked, and the Department of Justice is investigating if any civil rights violations took place, though no charges are expected to be filed. But in the interview, Zimmerman said he hoped he could change people's perception of him as the guy who got away with killing an African-American teen.
If it takes one person a day at a time to help them realize that that's not what this case was about, then that's what I'll do.
The Washington Post had this comment. Zimmerman fails on that hope every time he speaks. Aaron McPike, CNN, Washington.
Get away.